yeah, here we are at This Week in Mormons. I am your dear co-host, Jeff. Oftentimes we don't introduce ourselves. Where's Al? Where is my friend Al?
I'm Jazzy Jeff. I'm Funky Fresh.
You. Coming to get you.
I watched an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air this morning.
Yeah, it's on TBS every morning before The Price is Right.
It's like a little gift. It's like a little bitty gift. It was the one where Ashley, the daughter.
Uh-huh.
And Steve Urkel from Family Matters are going to hook up.
Stop
quote
it.
Unquote. I can't remember all the names. The nerdy brother of
Carlton.
Oh, and Carlton installs an intercom and overhears the girl conversation talking about it, and they freak out.
No.
And then Steve Urkel and Ashley are parked and they're making out, but she chooses
making
to
love.
Do the right thing.
Making love for two.
It was just exciting to see Steve Urkel making finally getting some of that. What Laura would never give him.
But didn't Laura give it to him in the end? I don't know.
Only when he was Stefan, I thought.
Stefan Urkel was a fantastic. He was just.
Oh, what was the name of that one show that was Step? Oh, Step by Step.
Step by Step.
Like Step by Step. Day by day.
By day.
And they had that. They had that like Uncle Cody or whoever that crazy guy that lived in the.
Oh, their cousin. Their cousin Cody. He was like totally.
He was the inspiration for many people that I knew growing up. I swear they got
to get wasted and live in your van.
The way they talked, he never got wasted on that show.
Yeah, dude. The best part was that show took place in Wisconsin, and he's like this bro fest surfer
guy. I thought
it
took place in Santa Cruz because they had the boardwalk in the intro.
Yes, no. The show took place outside of Milwaukee. The theme park they go to is Six Flags Magic Mountain. And they actually superimposed Waves and Lake Michigan over the parking lot of the place.
Why wouldn't... Are you sure? Because that looks a lot like...
1,000% sure.
Okay.
1,000,000,000%.
I trust your TV wisdom over anyone I've ever met.
You should. And speaking of my TV wisdom and early 90s awesome shows, many people who have the good fortune of knowing me know that I own a Saved by the Bell board game. It's true. That dates back from the era, and it's great. It's great. It's designed for women, for girls. The whole objective is to win a date with Zach or Slater. And so I took that to FHE tonight because they put me in charge of our activity, and I made people play the Saved by the Bell board game.
Did they hate you?
No, I think we had a good time. The game itself is very poorly conceived in general. Just the gameplay, the way it doesn't. it's all by chance. They have all these trivia questions, but the trivia has zero bearing on your actual score. It's just the only way you win is just by happenstance of rolling the dice and landing on the right spots. So
as it should.
And
be.
It takes a very long. It's very hard to process all the rules of the game, but it was fun. I think. I don't know. I might have engendered hatred amongst many people in my ward tonight.
I suspect sure. You did.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
we'll hope for the best. Oh, but you gotta love Saved by the Bell. I mean, come on. I was amazed how many kids didn't know it.
Did you cry during the finale?
No. Though it's touching. It's very touching when they graduate after all the lame stuff of them putting on Swan Lake or whatever so Zach can graduate. But when he walks up to Belding, inexplicably last in line, even though graduations are usually alphabetical, last time I checked. So Zach Morris has no business being there at the back of the thing. Also, it would be in a room bigger than a multi-purpose room at an elementary school. But whatever. Side note. Yes, when Belding holds Zach and says, "You know, son, you've got some great things inside you. I hope I'm around when you let it all out." And he offers to shake Zach's hand, and Zach embraces him like the mentor that he is.
Stop it. Stop it. You're doing it again. Jeff?
They embrace because clearly Zach's father is always working and never makes time for him. So Mr. Belding is there for him.
Stop it.
It's such a great show.
Anyway.
Such a great
show. Don't care.
Show. Okay. So I saw DC United play this weekend. It was their home opener.
That's the soccer one with the ball on the ground, right?
Yes, Major League Soccer, the fifth rail of Major League professional sports in America. And it was okay. Major League Soccer's fine. I mean, it is funny because if you – when they do friendlies against, like, these European clubs that come over, the European squad puts up, like, all their second-string players because they just mow over them. It's just the chasm in talent is hilarious. But it was fun. I do feel like I need to write a letter to the people of DC United / RFK Stadium because they're not really doing a lot for the guest experience, per se.
You're going to write – a letter? A strongly worded handwritten letter?
Yes, lit only by natural light.
Smart man. And
it might have to happen. It's just, it was fun going, but, and I know I'm spoiled because when you go to baseball games with teams that have regular attendance, I mean, yeah, they go out of their way and do all kinds of fan stuff. RFK Stadium, for one, it should be razed. It is just falling apart. It has no business existing anymore.
Okay.
It's a terrible place. And it's fine, and lots of obstructed views. The worst thing, though, is the service. Like, I waited 35 minutes to get food because someone just abandoned the line they were in at the register. They just left. And this woman finally started yelling at him, and the guy's like, we had to close the line. And she's like, you don't just, like, walk away and leave people standing here. But it was fun. I mean, I'm not, like, complaining. It was educational. So
really? Because it sounds like you are complaining.
A little bit. But it was more like, it's the kind of thing I can laugh
yes
about.
Yes no.
I mean, it's
sure,
like
sure and not so much.
You wish for something better, but it's definitely something worth laughing about. It was funny in that regard. That's all.
Well, I played football in Central Park, which was great. We had enough guys to play a two-man line, which I've never played in touch football because touch football went immediately to like full contact tackle,
of course,
without pads, and I have. Like, I'm a big guy, and so I don't get knocked around in very many sports very often. Just being as large as I am, I rarely match up against other large people. But there were some, like in football, when you're playing on a line, all you have to be is heavy. You don't have to be, like my height gave me some advantage, but not as much as you'd think. And I have like these monstrous bruises all across my chest and arms. I feel like a dainty flower. Like a ballet dancer that held hands with a man too mightily. And now I'm bruises everywhere.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It's my whole story. It was exciting, though, because I woke up the next morning and my legs had contracted to my chest because all my muscles were very tight.
We're so tight. Well, that at least probably puts you in a place to enjoy March Madness, though. You're a very big... You're a very big college basketball fan. Yeah.
I watched almost 30 hours of games in 3 days.
I can't fathom that.
I was
really
proud of myself.
I guess I could fathom that.
Well, because I do my work is all on my laptop anyway, right? And so sure. I was able to work while having two games going simultaneously, three at some points during the initial stages of the tournament, watching all the games at once while keeping up with email. And to be honest, I didn't keep up with work that well, so I ended up staying up very late, catching up on things, but it was nice.
I guess I say I can't fathom it, but it's only because I don't really care about college basketball. But like during the World Cup, during baseball playoffs, I spend a lot of time watching those things. Maybe not as hardcore as you do.
Yeah, those don't hold a candle to 68 games in 2 weeks, Jeff. 68 games.
Yeah, because basketball games are short and pointless. That's why.
Actually, let me redact that. Well, maybe I don't know the exact number of games. There's a large number. There's 68 teams.
Yeah, 68
but
games.
But it's been exciting.
Our numerically.
Our ward for our ward, we're doing a pool that I'm losing to all the women. I'm convinced that women have an advantage. Well, not just women, but like people who don't care about basketball.
Yeah.
And for you women that do care, I respectfully redact that statement. But they have an advantage because they just pick teams based on like how fun the name is, or if they ever knew somebody that went there, or things like that. And they kill me on the upsets. Like they just I didn't see Butler. Moorhead State. A girl picked Moorhead State because it sounded like Moosehead. I can't compete with that. I can't beat that.
Yeah, but if I were picking based on just names, I would have picked Gonzaga because it sounds awesome. Gonzaga.
BYU! Yes! BYU did great against Gonzaga, by the way.
Gonzaga!
That was a fun game to watch. Here's what I'm calling this. The okay. Lord's hand is in this here, but this is just like the Israelites in 1 Nephi chapter 20, where he's quoting Isaiah talking about how he's letting them have all these trials because he doesn't want them to be able to say that it was them that did this. When they win the championship, they will say it was the Lord's hand that led us here. It was the good Lord, and the whole world will acknowledge it, and they will say BYU is the one truth, the only way to educational freedom and light, and all of our questioning and suggesting otherwise will be moot.
Yes, but do you really think BYU
no.
can
no,
go
they're not
the
gonna
distance?
Make it. Absolutely no. not. There's not a chance.
I don't even know who's good. Who's
but
who's
I bet
be?
So they're playing Florida next, right? In their fourth round. They're playing Florida. This is a big game. Florida's the number one seed. A lot of hoo-ha here. A lot of stuff going on. Well, actually, no, wait. Florida's not number one seed.
This is what's going to happen. Brandon Davies is magically going to be forgiven by the Honor Code Police.
Could you imagine if they were like, yep, you're all done repenting. Jump back out there, son.
It would look really bad for BYU if they did that because it would seem like they were clearly just trying to get him in there for
Florida's the number two.
I don't know. Miracles can happen. You never know.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yay, BYU. Woo!
Anyway.
Cougar power.
It's a churchy thing right now. It's a churchy thing, Jeff.
Dude, don't even remind me. Did I tell you what happened in my ward on Sunday?
No, I saw it on your Twitter feed.
So, okay. You'll all see the picture of this, if you probably have already, anyway, if you see the post on the website when you listen to the show. But if you don't, if you're just a strict downloader, whatever. Point is, I come to church on Sunday, like I do many days. Sundays, for that matter. And the program for our ward was interesting. It said... the Colonial Second Ward, my ward, the date. And then I just had like the official logo of March Madness, which by the way is probably trademarked. I'm just guessing and we can't just use it on a whim. And it just says March Madness and then the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it just says March Madness showing a basketball hoop and a basketball. There was no tie-in. Like, it's March Madness.
I think that's like, have you been to the temple lately? Question mark?
No, it was nothing. There's no, like, we're crazy about baptizing. Let's see how many investigators we can get here this month. Nothing like that. It was just, it's March Madness. Why is this on the cover of my program? This has no business being on the cover of my program for church. This is church! Church! Temple, or like a happy family, or, you know, I don't know, Jesus?
A picture of Christ? Yeah,
yeah, sure. Maybe. Something like that. Well, even a picture of the D.C. temple.
What if they worked that into the logo? That could have been really bad. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad that they stopped where they did.
I wouldn't put it beyond him, but this bothers me enough that I'm tempted just to, like, I don't know, email the bishop and just be like, eh.
Oh, have a sense of humor. They were just having fun with it.
Eh. But
shut it, you haughty, arrogant.
It's like,
man.
This is church, people. Church. And this basically is saying that the war.
Let me let
church,
you in on something, Jeff. Church is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, it is supposed to be fun, but this is like having the church officially sanction March Madness, as if it's some sort of, you know, anointed activity
don't
that
they,
we should be doing.
With the Jimmer as their spokesman, I believe they have. Which reminds me, by the way, getting into Mormondom here. There was a great article this week where Marcus Morris from Kansas talked about his interactions with Jimmer Fredette when they both played together at the Las Vegas All-American Tournament. And so they were roommates, and the guy just had great things to say about him. He's like, man, you will never find a more rigorous work ethic. We're in Vegas. The guy's going home, getting to bed early. We're, you know, like, he's push-ups and sit-ups every night. You will not match how great a guy this kid is. Which, for me, what actually swayed me on the Jimmer bandwagon, right? Because I was very much against this all this, I don't know, loving of Jimmer just because he's a great basketball player. But like, if he's as good behind closed doors as he is, like if he's setting those kind of examples and making those impressions, you know what? You kids go have fun. This is good. This is good. This Jimmer stuff. I like it.
Really?
I'm a fan now. I was a lover
during the game against Gonzaga. I was just like those 14-year-old girls hanging on the railing, jumping up and down every time he touched the ball, even though he would miss, say half his shots. He would take shots clearly from too far out of his range and ding them off the front of the rim, but I would still say, that, just like the announcer, Bill Raftery, that, my friends, is why they call him the Jimmer. He's unconscious. Oh, sure, he missed that one, but you know what I mean. It was great. Good times.
Yeah, I guess. That's fine to watch basketball. But then it's March Madness in church, and your high counselor is talking about the BYU game.
I'm not just saying again. Have a sense of humor.
Okay,
you
what a
schmuck.
You know that I'm always out there for minorities. What about when the high counselor is up there talking all about like the BYU game and how he's blah, 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 blah? It's just this wanton assumption.
Do you see a mote in your brother's eye? You'd best pull it out.
It's just that, like, it's always like we just assume everyone wants to hear about BYU basketball.
They do.
And that this is some sort of official
it's
thing,
a church
like, thing we
school.
Talk about in
it
sacrament
makes sense,
meeting. Because everyone.
It?
Everyone clearly must love BYU basketball, and BYU for that matter. I'm sure I went to BYU, but what if I'm sitting here like, dude, I went to Georgetown. I don't care about your stupid stuff, and I'd be tired of hearing about it in
church
all the time.
There are ties to the Mormon church. It makes sense that they would bring it up.
It is church. We don't need to talk about
churchy things.
Jimmer and
church
March Madness
schools,
and sacrament
chance?
Meeting, for goodness sake. Unless it has bearing on the like meeting that talks about forgiveness or personal preparedness or something
what
like
about,
that.
What about repentance?
Talking about BYU basketball like it has relevance to sacrament meeting.
I would like to introduce to the court Brandon Davies as a symbol of repentance, forgiveness, and all things therein related, thereby making this the most appropriate church conversation you could have possibly had.
But no one has the guts to talk about Brandon Davies. No one is going to get up there and talk about, you know, the fallen star and what we can learn, blah, blah, blah.
Carry on.
No, we're not. This was pertinent to whatever. But if you want to keep with the idea of Brandon Davies and sin, recently, good old ICANN, I forget what the acronym stands for. You probably know. But they're the people who decide the domain names, the end of domain names, you know, .com, .org, .whatever. Right. I think they're based in California. Yes. No. Al.
ICANN? It's an international institute. I don't know where it's based out of.
No. They're based out of California, though.
Does not matter at all. It
okay.
has zero bearing on the story. It's stupid that you'd bring that up.
Okay.
You
but it's California. Not stupid because actually you can very much argue that the U.S. government has more influence over ICANN than other governments do.
It absolutely does.
Problem.
What does that have to do with California, the failing state to the west, Jeff?
There would be no internet if it weren't for California. So
that's a lie.
There's that. Okay. No, it's not a lie. Everything happened in California. There would also be no ocean or air if it weren't for California.
Okay, anyway.
Nothing. So the point is, for a long time, they have toyed with making a .xxx domain name specifically.
For the pornographies?
Yes, exactly. For the pornographies. The Bush administration kept leaning on him and kind of nipping it in the bud every time this came up, but the Obama administration has been, you know, indifferent to it, presumably. So last week, this got final approval by ICANN. So now the .xxx domain name can be coming to a site near you. And so the weird thing I think about this is a lot of people are against it, like the Bush administration, family groups, et cetera, et cetera. Admittedly, I don't fully understand what the problem here is, other than the fact that, say, a kid could search for, I don't know, some site called, like, Willie the Whale, and they might get willythewhale.org, willythewhale.com, and willythewhale.xxx, and then stumble upon...
What a great example.
Thank you. I choose my metaphor as well, don't I? And so I guess I get that. I don't know, Al. I mean, what do you think about this being a technology guy? Like,
all right,
what's the drawback here?
Here's what I love about this.
I feel like you should be able to filter.
There's no drawback except that There's an infinite number of new possibilities for domain names. There'll be an a huge increase in porn sites now that there's like it's kind of this tier or this wide open area of pornography's focusedness, and it could turn into like the cesspool of the internet. Right? Here's what I love about this though. Is if you were able to push everything over to this domain name, or if there were some sort of legislation, even domestically, I think would do a lot, that pushed all the .com porn sites to a .xxx. Or like,
it makes them like the second tier of internet, like we've talked about before, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, right? It's like, it would be very easy for me to block all of one domain name, right? And so in my home, it would be a very simple thing for me to block all the .orgs or all the .xxx or all the .edus, right? Like whatever I wanted to keep out of my home, it's very easy to do. In fact, you could even do that at an ISP level and say, I don't want any of these let into my home. So like you could even take it out of your hands, right? Like it's something that I actually think would be a very good thing if it was adopted wholeheartedly. But you talk to people that are, well, and this is kind of an oxymoron to say, well, sort of, but like responsible pornographers like Playboy, right? Playboy is
responsible pornographers.
Well, Playboy is interested in, nice. And if you talk to them or read any of the, their like legal documents, they talk about trying to keep their material out of the hands of like young kids because their market is very defined in like of like, you know, old guys or 25-year-old guys, right? Like that's who they're trying to target and hook. And of course, there's an element of getting kids while they're young, but like they're as interested in keeping it out of their hands for the sake of just decency as a lot of these other people. And so it's like the larger kind of, I guess, pornographic institutions will adopt this no problem. It's going to be the small scale, you know, like greasy guy in his trailer out in the middle of North Dakota. No offense, North Dakota. That's running this site out of his bedroom, right? Like those are the guys you're going to have to worry about sneaking on there. But
okay,
it'd be cool sneaking out of the .coms, right? But like the more of that stuff we get off of the .com domain area, I think the better. And so anything that's pushing towards that is good.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's why I had a hard time. I kind of get like, yeah, I don't see why this is totally a bad thing, because I feel like it makes it easier to filter, to keep, especially if we pass legislation that requires pornographic sites to register, like you said, with the .xxx suffix or domain name. The only thing I think where we start to run into problems is then people are going to say, well, how do we define what pornography is? You know, some people... In some ways, it's very clear. But to what is
no? It'll
art?
Have to be a voluntary thing, right? Like there's going to have to be some sort of a benefit to going over there. It's the same as putting a fast food restaurant near other fast food restaurants. You would think that it would be competitive, but it's actually not. It's better for all of them, right? Because when people are hungry, they go there because there's choices. Well, it's kind of the same idea of like people need to want to move their website over to this other domain because there's going to be some sort of an advantage. Something like that. I don't know okay. How it'll all play out, but I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful.
And I guess what I wonder
then is...
There
needs to be something, some sort of self-regulation around the internet, because zero regulation with no self-regulation is a bad thing.
Yeah. And so I guess I just wonder, though, if it's voluntary, I wonder how many people will sign up for it, or how many sites... Say, take Playboy, for example, which has adult content, but Playboy views itself much more as sort of a classy... You know, it's Playboy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like they view themselves more as a publication of relevance that also happens to have classy pictures of naked women or what have you, or blah, blah, blah. They might feel that .com is more appropriate for more of the broad appeal that they try to have, and .xxx would kind of malign them a little bit. So I don't know. That's the only problem I see. If it's voluntary, people might... It's the same reason people look at... It's the same reason they got rid of the rated X rating for movies back in the day and changed it to NC-17. But even still, NC-17 is sort of a kiss of death. No one wants that rating because it means that distributors won't carry it and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so it decreases your market. So I do wonder if they'll shy away from it because of that. But I guess, you know, it's just conjecture.
Very anxious to see how it goes.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting developing story. And that's that. Everyone should look into it because it could very much affect you.
So some cool stuff around Japan this week. Actually, well, more kind of tragedy, but the churches has announced a couple of things. One, Elder Holland released a video, kind of a press release thing, saying that all the member or all the missionaries in Japan are safe, which is great. And one in particular was kind of cool. MSNBC picked up an elder
They interviewed him, right? Like, they interview this elder in Japan and talk about, you know, just kind of asking him what it was like when it happened, which was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of funny. There's one quote as he's riding home. He tells the reporter that he turned to his companion and said, "Elder, our job now is to make people as happy as we can." And, like, that's kind of the tagline that they've excerpted out of this interview that everybody's touting around. I'm like, seriously, man, you couldn't have come up with, like, now is our chance to help people prepare themselves to meet their Savior or something more classy like that. We couldn't have gone there. But, Elder, our job is to make people as happy as they can while they are near nuclear reactors, while they have no water, while their families are swept out to sea.
Yes.
I just think it was a poor choice of words. Elder, I mean, you got the eyes of the world are on you. This is your moment. But it was cool that MSNBC picked it up. NBC ran a story on it. USA Today picked it up. Like, a lot of cool kind of media exposure for the church. Good on him. Well done.
What is wrong with making people as happy as they can, Al? Come on.
Happiness runs in a circular motion. Just like the... Anyway, also in Japanese stuff going on. Well, Jeff, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. There was a bunch of missionaries that got sent home, a couple of transfers early.
Just out of
convenience, right? Like, and I've seen this happening with, like, guys trying to make it home for school and stuff.
Or Christmas or something.
Yeah, and I was always like, seriously, but... just, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if this was their call. I think it's just that, like, their affected areas.
Would you be bitter against the
I think
Lord?
A little bit. I mean, I think I think I'm with you in that I hate it when guys go home early for school or for Christmas or anything like that. It's like you signed up for 2 years. I know that
let the chips,
you know, we
fall
don't
where they may.
Yeah, and I know we don't dictate the day when we leave. I mean, when I put in my papers, I said I put them in August and said I wanted to leave in October. But I got my call at the very beginning of September, and I didn't leave until January for my mission. So, I mean, it is what it is. But it is what it is. So that's a whole other discussion. But I don't like. I remember my mission president asked me, because of where my date was. I went to the MTC on January 2nd, and so when I was nearing the end, he was like, "Are you wanting to like go home early because of Christmas or anything like that?" And I was like, "No, big whoop. I can go home after Christmas. Who cares?"
I came to miss two Christmases.
Anyway, which incidentally made the Christmas call home that time very great, because it's like, "Yeah, I'll be home in a week. All right, good times." So, anyhow, in this case, though, I think this is more because, quite literally, their areas no longer exist. I mean, these towns that they were probably serving in have been destroyed. Like, it's gone. And
well,
for whatever reason...
How great would it be? Like, I know in Florida, when Florida had the hurricanes, the mission president came to him and said, "All right, your job is to help clean up." Right? That's what we're doing, we're helping to clean up.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I'm a little surprised that they... took off early. I mean, we can't, you know, I mean, the mission president receives whatever inspiration he receives to do that, but I do think it's a little random.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. Hey, I would be a little bit disappointed, especially like something like that happens. It's really an opportunity for you to serve all out, right? Like, just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
do think one of the harder things is just the general safety issues and having them stick around even to clean up because of the nuclear issues going on right now.
I would have grabbed a backpack, filled it full with food, and headed to the Northland where the frozen chosen serve. That's where I would have gone. That was always my dream in Ukraine. Our goal was like right at the end we'd just pack a bag of canned food and bread and head off into the villages of Ukraine and teach as a vagabond.
And eventually wind up in Belarus and be arrested.
Be shot on sight. One other cool thing in the light, the Japan light here, is home teaching got a...
The Japan light, sorry.
Is that a radiation joke, Jeff?
No, it's just a very odd word choice that you just used.
I choose them oddly all the time.
Okay.
But home teaching got a specific mention by MSNBC, talking about how within like 48 hours the church had been able to reach 90% of their members, what do they call it? They call it in Japan the Mormon Network gathers the flock.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Sweet, very cool.
good coverage. And of course, as a church, we don't do these things for the recognition. Well, I guess we do and we don't, because when we give service, they want us to wear those Mormon Helping Hand vests or shirts, which is clearly for the sake of photo ops and PR stuff. But still, I mean, it's a great thing. I'm one of the things that makes me most proud being LDS is seeing how quickly we can mobilize and help out when there are humanitarian or other disasters to look into. It's something to be proud of as members of the church. We're able to do some good stuff.
Yes, sir.
We mobilize very quickly. Yay. So, sorry. And we're with all the people in Japan. As a side note, the reactor
situation. I like how you mentioned that in passing. We're praying for them and other stuff.
We are. I don't know what to say. Everything sounds so rote and cliche at that point. So it's just, of course we're with the people of Japan. It's terrible what's happened to them. And as an upside, it looks like the reactor situation is sort of, I was going to say cooling down, but that sounds really stupid, punny, but you know what I mean. It's getting better. I don't think we're going to have a meltdown now. It looks like it might ease up a bit and stuff will iron out. We're not going to have Chernobyl 2.0, it looks like. We might be okay.
Gosh, that would be such a disaster for them.
I know. I mean, Japan is prepared for earthquakes and tidal waves, but for nuclear meltdowns, no country is prepared. What can you do? You can't.
Well, you look at Ukraine. That devastated that country. They still can't get anybody to buy any of their exports now because of the radiation itself.
Which is sad, because Ukrainian soil is some of the most fertile and produces some of the most delicious fruits and vegetables you will ever have.
It's true. It is true. Delish.
All right, so moving right along, I posted this story on the Facebook page, and a lot of you commented on it, and so this might be a bit old hats, but it was worth talking about here on the show as well. So last Wednesday, a young man by the name of Brian Devine.
Let's call him Devine.
Whatever his name is. Okay, Brian Devine wrote in to the Daily Universe and got his little letter published. And I've never seen so many comments on the Daily Universe website for a single... I think mine finally got approved. It did. How fun. Never seen so many responses. Usually there's like 30 or 40 comments on this one, which is huge for these sorts of things. Anyway, this guy, Brian Devine, apparently got fired for swearing. And I think I'll just read his letter, because there are parts of it when you're like, dude...
Give us a little bit of summary. All right, go for it. Knock it out.
No, I can give you some. No, well, whatever. Point was, he said, the other day he was working on campus, and I hit my shin pretty hard. As a reflex, I let out an expletive. Oops. Later that day, my boss spoke with me and let me know someone had heard me and was so upset that they called in to complain, and as a result, I was fired. Now I'm stuck with no job. Rent to pay, food to buy, a car windshield to replace, I like that one, and other expenses tallying up. Why? Well, you have those expenses because you have financial
because
needs.
Because he swore.
He doesn't have
broke.
Those expenses because he swore. But then he says, should I have cussed? Heck no. Should I have gotten fired for it? Eh. Should someone have been so upset that they called my supervisor to complain about it instead of approaching me and perhaps just letting me know they didn't appreciate me popping the bubble for a half a second? Absolutely not. Look, BYU, I'm not perfect. I know that, but neither are you. Every day I read letters here where someone is condemning another person because they wore running shorts or because they like basketball. Can we all just please calm down and stop accusing each other? Are you going to go to the football field or basketball court and tally every time someone cusses?
First, this is awesome because, I don't know. One of my favorite elders on the mission, who is this like kind of short, pudgy guy, but he knew like both languages in the mission super well, was so stalwart, just rock solid. One time we're walking out of district meeting and he like slipped on the ice and he just yells, "Oh F!" He just lets it out and we're all like, these new missionaries are standing there, we're like, "Oh, Rasmussen swore." And he was like, "Sorry guys, I whoops." But it just, I don't know, that happens sometimes. I'm not a swearer. I never have.
Yeah, nor
been.
Am I.
I said a swear word one time as a 10-year-old. My sister slapped me, and that cured me of my obsession. But, like, I don't know. Stuff like that, I mean, come on. Seriously, who is so sensitive that they go through the trouble to complain when they hear, like, what was he doing, mowing the lawn? A guy raking leaves or something?
No, he was working, and he hit his shin pretty hard. We don't know what his on-campus job was. He never never specifies.
Now, I suppose if he was setting up the podium for when the prophet was going to come talk, that might be there might be some sensitive things there. And he's like, oh, son of a. But, you know, like people take it with a grain of salt. Everybody's trying a little curse word here or there.
I agree. And what I think is extremely frustrating with this.
I don't know. Well, maybe I'm wrong. People of the court. What say ye, Twim listeners?
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed some of the feedback on the Facebook page regarding the story. Because it's just, I mean, we don't know the circumstances. Perhaps he's a repeat offender and had a history of letting out expletives. And, you know, he's not telling us that because obviously he doesn't want to in his letter. We don't know. If that's the case, I have a little less sympathy for the guy. Also, I hate his entire paragraph about how he's stuck with no job, rent to pay, food to buy, a car windshield to replace, and expenses tallying up. I love that he says, why? As if him getting fired caused these expenses to suddenly surface out of nowhere. But I understand the frustration. And assuming this was a one-time incident or something like that, seriously, I think we are losing sight of the point of the honor code. And I can't believe some of the comments people make here on the Daily Universe site, basically saying, like, you know the honor code. You agreed to follow the rules. You broke the rules.
And oh, my
the consequences. You may not like that, but this is how it works in the world. You break the rules, you suffer the consequences. It's just like, are you kidding me? This is just beyond me.
We're losing sight.
Is true,
we're
and he
losing
was not,
sight.
If he was not a repeat offender of any kind, then honor code people, we are extremely losing sight of the actual purpose of the honor code. All of my editorializing on the matter aside, I mean, yeah, stuff like this just happens, and he's admitting that he should not swear. And that's why I love people who are like, well, you need to fix your habits for swearing and blah, 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 of course. Like, he's not even a habit. I know people who let out expletives. I don't like it either. I don't want to hear someone cuss, but it's like, eh.
What can you do?
It happens sometimes. What are you going to do?
Everybody's working on their own drama.
Everyone's working on their own drama, and seriously.
On their own poop, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all working on our own poop.
Oh, man, it's just, duh. This is very, very accurate. This irks me a lot, this whole story. So,
anywho.
Assuming we know all the details, I've actually tried to find this Brian Devine and get his side of the story. I've yet to nail him down, everybody, but if we come to more of an understanding about this, you'll be the first to know.
Sweet.
You beautiful twin people, you.
So we had some. Right. We need to wrap up, man. Man. We're always so long. We're so long.
We're doing pretty okay so far.
Okay, well,
so yeah,
there's a cool story that came up about the Shakers. Some of you may know the Shakers were the they were mentioned. Doctrine and Covenants 49 was written. I'll read you the section heading. It's a revelation given through Joseph Smith. Thanks, Jeff. To Sidney Rigdon, Parley P. Pratt, and Lyman Copley. Kirtland, Ohio. Lyman Copley had embraced the gospel but still held some of its teachings of the Shakers, the United Society of Believers in Christ's Second Appearing, as they were also known, to which he had formerly belonged. Some of the beliefs of the Shakers were that Christ's second coming had already occurred, that he had appeared in the form of a woman, Anne Lee, baptism by water was not considered essential, and eating of pork was specifically forbidden, and many did not eat any meat, and a celibate life was considered higher than marriage. So the prophet received this revelation, they wrote it up, and then the whole group went to the Shakers and presented it in Cleveland, Ohio, to the Shaker group, the Shaker community, and then it was rejected. So to that point, both Jeff and I were commenting, wouldn't it be great if there were more of that going on today? I'm like, dear
today.
Everyone else, guess what? You're wrong.
You are wrong. And then, and to actually have, we assume, someone in the 12 go to them and read the statement. It would be awesome.
Well, so
it'd be especially great during the campaign season coming up. That would do us wonders. Mitt Romney would do so well in the South.
He'd be like, oh, son of a. And then some BYU student would be like, Mr. Romney, you swore.
As a side note, okay, real quick, I was at FHE tonight, and one of the girls in the place, she's a lobbyist, but the point is she's worked for Mitt Romney, for your guy, during the last campaign. And I joked, I was like, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a Mormon slugfest this time around, Huntsman and Romney. And she was like, yeah, well, at least Romney's a real Mormon.
Ooh.
Harsh.
What does that even mean?
It means that people would vote for. It means that people would vote for him because he is a real Mormon as opposed to his policies. But whatever. Continue. I applaud.
How crazy. Well, so anyway, PBS did a bit this last week on the Shakers. Apparently, they're almost all dead. There's three left. Three good Shakers. At the peak, they're almost 200.
That's a pretty sad peak. That's not their.
Well,
peak.
No, there was like 6,000 back in there the day, go. Right? Like there was a bunch back in the day. But anymore, they're all dying off and going the way of the land. They're not sure why, but anyway, it was kind of an interesting read. It was a good interview to read, and it's something that has touched church history previously, and so we thought it might be interesting to you guys. But you can go give it a read and pay homage to the Shakers of yesteryear, for which we can thank for Doctrine and Covenants section 49.
Love it. So we found something here that is, it is sacrilegious, if I may say so.
No, an immaculate confection, if you will.
That one's even better. I like that one a lot.
And we found the name of the name of the episode.
All right, so. I thought sacrilicious would have been a good name for the show, but I don't know. I think you just trumped me. You're always trumping me, Al. How dare you? So anyway, Russell Stover, maker of various sweets and chocolates and blah, 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 is selling chocolate Jesus fish, everyone.
For $2, $1.95.
Yeah, a 2.5-ounce box. You got to
chocolate.
It's like,
a Jesus fish that is chocolate.
Chocolate. You can eat it. You can eat the Jesus fish. Like, literally, you can eat the fish.
I can think of so many people that this is the best gift imaginable for.
And here we are making fun of it. We're wonderful. And as I see these, I think, how many people can I buy this for and send as a joke?
Yeah, who would appreciate this?
Who would appreciate this in the ironic way that I appreciate it, basically?
The other cool thing would be to run around sticking these as Jesus fish onto cars and like during the summer because it would melt on.
Yeah, and then melt right off. But yes.
Well, sure. I'd have to think that one through a little more, but you get the idea.
I do. So this is just thank you. Thank
Russell
you, thank
Stover's
you, Russell
the
Stover.
Forward-thinking Christian candies.
Probably one of my favorite things that's happened of late, as far as religious food items, or something. Or
we got a couple more things here. One more thing is via the Discovery Channel news.
Yes.
They're finding evidence that God had a wife.
Say what?
I know. So apparently they're finding that mentions of God's wife were edited out of the Bible due to some research into like old-time scripts and things of that nature. Other archaeological finds indicate that God had a wife, which is just kind of interesting from a Mormon standpoint to have that substantiated a little bit. I don't know. So just a mention, not a story.
No, not a story. If you want, no, never mind.
Is Asherah, according to the story here, according to British theologians.
It's true. Also, on the Discovery News, there's another trending one. Apparently, there is now marijuana soda. Just wanted to share that. You get high by drinking soda, apparently. Just saw that right now on the sidebar, so terrific.
Oh, good. Good.
I know. Who doesn't love it? Before we go to our last segment, which I think we're looking forward to, I would like to give, I don't want to say a shout-out, but Richard Worthlin died this past week. Richard Worthlin was the brother of Joseph B. Worthlin, the apostle. Richard Worthlin was also a member of the 70 and also owned Worthlin Worldwide, formerly known as DMI, which was a market research firm. And he was also Ronald Reagan's chief pollster during the 1980s. Like, every guy who ran daily polls for the Reagan administration was Richard Worthlin's firm. Why is this super relevant other than a prominent Mormon passing away? Richard Worthlin basically gave my mom her career and her job. And so I view it like... most everything that I have in my life came from the relationship that my mom was able to cultivate with him and with his company. And I met Richard a number of times. He was a very, very kind, warm, inviting, terrific man. I remember I got to go hang out in the church administration building when he was in the 70. He actually got his conference tickets to the last conference in the Tabernacle before they opened the conference center. And so just so he passed away this week. His funeral was this past weekend, and it was attended by, for lack of a better term, church royalty, if you will. Apparently President Monson presided over it. A number of other people were there. And so Richard was a great man. He'll definitely be missed. He struggled with health for a number of years. He was actually a pancreatic cancer survivor, which is a rarity because that's like the most killer of cancers. Great man, though. Definitely a great man.
And so, he was a big Reagan fan?
I would assume so, given the, polling for Reagan. But the interesting thing to see is when you see in politics, you realize how much somebody like that, Richard Werthland, the main pollster, and there's a great picture on one of the articles about this, showing him in the Oval Office with Reagan, how much policy is shaped by people who do the polling and stuff. And you can really, if you love Reagan, you can really thank a lot of the stuff he did. You can credit that to Richard Werthland's polling. And so if you hate Reagan, you can also credit what he did to Richard Werthland's polling. He was a very, very good man, though. He'll be missed. And not that I knew him super well, but I always feel like he's kind of had a standing influence in my life and in everything that's gone on in my familial affairs. So, Richard Werthland, you will be missed. Thank you very much.
Richard Werthland, for the win.
For the win.
As we send you out this week, Jeff and I have a special gift to you. You may know that McKay Coppins has gone the way of the world, so to speak. He is now in New York, my fair city, and here he tweets. And he's turned it. Jeff, you mentioned that he's somewhat of a thoughtful commenter now.
Yeah, he's not actually a terrible writer. That's why I have to pick on Lindy Hill now at the Daily Universe. I have to pick on some poor college student.
Well, so both Jeff and I are followers now of McKay Coppins. His 236 followers. Gosh, that's embarrassing. His 236 followers of this Newsweek reporter. We are two of them, a percentage of.
Why is it? What is embarrassing?
Because he's a reporter, and he only has 230.
He's starting
followers.
Out. You barely have over 300 followers. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I have.
He'll get there.
Maybe he will.
McKay can do anything, man. So anyway, as Al was saying, we thought we could read some of McKay's tweets.
We would like to send you out this week reading McKay's tweets. Of course, you know where you can find us, thisweekinmormons.com. Contact at thisweekinmormons, twitter.com/therealtwim, and facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. And now, Jeff, how about I hit it off?
Yeah, find us. And so, okay, I'm going to hit the play button here to get some groove music. And
as we just feel the vibe a little bit, get into this.
All right.
Gibbs. I'm liking it. Gibbs confirms that hashtag Huntsman has told the White House he plans to resign his post early this year. It's a very interesting Hatch 2012 development.
That's true. At Dave HNH, we did. And Jimmer captivated the whole bar, even with amazing Butler game on.
Does Utah need a PR consultant? We gotta shoot our feral animals with a state gun. Idaho economic development folks have got to love it. Hashtag Utah politics.
She was right, Mr. Schwartz. Retweet at Hunter Schwartz. Mama said I'd never go to heaven hanging till 11 with the wrong crew.
Mm-hmm. John, hashtag Huntsman on the Tea Party, healthcare and his Mormon faith. My latest for Newsweek, / the Daily Beast.
Glad hashtag Herbert is now against the bill, though. Maybe Utah will continue to have an operating free press after all.
Cool / terrifying. The Daily app allows audio recording and comment section.
And of course, Utah's at Governor Herbert was too spineless to stand up to fellow Repubs. This is what happens when one party controls a state. Hashtag HB477.
Thou shalt not mess with the Jimmer. A BYU co-ed had to learn this the hard way.
Really? None of the New York Times digital subscriptions include the Kindle. Hashtag Steve Jobs rules the world.
Did you see where Obama said people question his faith? No, we don't question it. We just don't believe you have any. Ouch!
Obama calls Jimmer unbelievable. Immediately rises 30 points in Utah favorability ratings.
I find it very difficult to continue reading an article once I've arrived at the words center around. Hashtag snobby tweets.
Strolling around my Utah college town at 7:30 a.m. In 15 minutes, I've passed six smiling, jogging girls. Hashtag, welcome to Provo.
Isn't he married? I don't think I've ever seen happier musicians on the Grammy stage than those that get to perform Maggie's Farm with Dylan.
At Graham David A. At Badler. Psh. The first Strokes album will always be hip.
What I learned in Utah last weekend? No draft beers, more than 4% alcohol, and Mormons are extremely friendly. And the luge is sweet.
Congrats to Dick Barnett on a fantastic redesign of Newsweek. If you haven't read the mag in a while, it might be worth checking the newsstands.
Jimmer wouldn't be getting so much attention if he wasn't Mexican.
Love how Lawrence O'Donnell just spread twisted half-truths about Joseph Smith and then hedged with, at least that's what Huckabee thinks.
Call me a teabagger, but I just don't find Palin's breastfeeding joke that offensive. I don't think she's actually anti-breastfeeding.
Mormon athlete sex scandal. My latest at the Daily Beast. Quoting at Steve Pierce. HTTP://tinyurl.com/6A2CRFC.
Celebrity dishes on generic thing, another generic thing, and misleading, clickbaiting thing that ends up being generic. Hashtag celeb interview deck.
Orrin Hatch is facing a steep uphill battle for re-election. No way he can say he favors moderate Huntsman over Romney. Hashtag Utah poll. Hashtag 2012.
Times, they are a-changin'. Apostrophe. I'm going to play with my Burka Barbie.
Yeah, I was
going
to do that one.
Radical lefty friends now. Done with culture war. Twitter fights for the day.
I think you and I have finally caught each other, Al. All right. Thanks, McKay, and thanks, everybody.